The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
This is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is November 19th, 2014. We're sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York. We don't try, we succeed. And today, if you've been paying attention, every Wednesday, we have Logan Christopher. He's one of the principal owners of Superman Herbs with his brothers. And he is the lead, the president of Legendary Strength. And if you haven't tuned into the last show, our friend here had won the strongman contest. He might want to just say a few things about that. I'd like him to say that again. And we're going to talk about real manliness today. We got a show, man. Logan and I were talking. I'm all jacked up. We're going to talk about testosterone today. He's got some killer stuff, and I'm working with him and his brothers right now. I'll give you a little tidbit. We're doing some things for Iceland, and it's going to be very interesting because I'm pretty much going to stay right to all of Logan's stuff, but we'll get into that another time. Hey, Logan, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, brother.
Glad to be back.
Glad to have you, man. So why don't you just tell everybody quick? I mean, last week we went over, you know, with you winning your class in strongman. Just say a few things about it, and then let's move into a guy favorite here, testosterone.
Absolutely. Yeah, last week we covered the whole competition, everything I did leading up to it, and the whole competition itself, all the things that went into that, from like nutrition, visualization, which we've talked about the past few interviews before that. So a lot of different detail on that, and I was very excited to do it because I haven't done a whole lot of competition myself, and I'm a pretty small guy, I guess you would say. I was entering the lightweight class there, and it was a lot of fun to go out and compete and be able to come home with the trophy. So I was very happy about that.
Hell yeah, and congratulations. I mean, we're real happy for you here at Motivation, and it's good to have, you know. One thing I'll tell you, Logan, is, and the feedback we get from people lately is incredible about the show. Not only is it great to have all you guys on and the gals too. I mean, we've got some real competitors on this show. I mean, I had Amy Payne on the other day. I mean, she's got an invitation to the Arnold. I mean, we've got some Susan Salazar. She just came in, I think, sixth it was in an IFBB bodybuilding. I mean, you know, I'm talking big time stuff, and she's a killer power lifter too. And the same way with the guys. I mean, and I told you a couple that are possibly going to be coming on. We got some great people here, and you know, you've just competed and won, and this is what the audience is looking for. They love this hardcore, you know, hard ass training. How do I get ready? You know, how do I get bigger? How do I get more muscle? And this is perfect. Today's show could not fit better than what I've been, you know, I've been emailed, I've been voicemailed. So here we go.
Yep.
Testosterone. this is a favorite. So start it out, man. You know, you start rolling how you want
to
go with it.
All right. Well, where to start? That is a good question. One thing I want to do mention, you said it's a man's favorite, but really this is a applicable topic even for women. A lot of women and even guys don't realize that women have the male sex hormones like testosterone, like some of the other hormones we're going to be talking about as well. They just have it in much lesser degrees. And it's the same case the other way around. Estrogen is the predominant female hormone, and us men, we have that as well, so we'll be talking quite a bit about that, but it's actually necessary to have some estrogen, the right kinds of estrogen, in order to support our health and our performance as well.
So let's the best thing is, Let's talk to it from two sides. Obviously, you want health, and you know, I got into a kind of a heated thing one day with a guy that's a good lifter, and he was a really good wrestler, and he'd be probably maybe, I'd say late 50s, early 60s, and the rub was this. He you know, he's giving me the thing that you shouldn't be eating red meat, and he was once a red meat eater, the whole deal. He's got more into the vegetarian stuff. He's a big mm-hmm. guy with beans and all this. And look, if that's how you want to eat, I got no problem with it, but don't tell me what the fuck to eat. Seriously, all right? So,
let's actually talk about that. I want to address that because, yeah, that whole the vegetarian thing, what not yep. a lot of people realize is if we look back in history, vegetarian movements, for instance, in India, you know, that was yep. sort of based around the religion, and part of the reason they ate vegetarian was so that they would have less – they would actually – lessen their testosterone so that they weren't as sort of aggressive or as manly right. and they could focus more of their energy on their spiritual practice. Now, when yep. we look at the U.S., where the vegetarian movement became big, it was really there was some of the religious groups involved in this. But, for instance, Dr. Kellogg, who his name is famous because he created Kellogg's Corn Flakes, he yep. was pretty – aggressively religious in what he did and using the vegetarian diet in order to suppress natural urges. I mean, he recommended things like he was helpful in getting started the whole circumcision of males, which was yep. originally thought to make it so that people couldn't masturbate and all these things around it. But the whole idea yep. was that vegetarians are going to lessen these animal drives that we have, and thus yep. you won't be doing bad behavior.
I'll tell you what,
literally, man. If you look back, it's fascinating stuff that where this came from, and then at some point it really became focused on the health, and yes, there's certainly some health benefits to being vegetarian or even vegan, but really, if you look at those, they're kind of short-term, more cleansing diets or better yep. for these so-called spiritual pursuits. But really, every human being since the beginning of time, we're an omnivorous species. We eat.
Absolutely. We eat. We're hunters and gatherers. That's the way I look yep. at it. But, you know, the thing with this, I won't say his name because he's a person I talk to still, but he started really giving me shit about testosterone, and we got very heated with it, he and I, where he's saying, well, you know, at a certain age, you don't need to have high levels of it anywhere. And I was like, hey, Dave, you're full of shit, because if you read anything about testosterone, it's not just sexual urges
no.
or anything like that. Testosterone normally is – think about all the people that supposedly are depressed all the time.
Yep.
With a male, it's testosterone. It's been proven over and over again. You know, like Dr. Ken used to say, walking strong. You know, like when you're on, man, you just know
yeah.
it's a feel, it's a tightness in your muscles. You know, you should have a hard on during the night. You should be thinking about girls. You know what I mean? These are all things you should want to go in and stalk those weights, man.
Yeah.
You should want to go in and just wreck everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, totally disagree with that theory, because so many diseases, they've traced back to low levels of testosterone. I don't believe all that crap when you're older that you should be diminishing here and there. Yeah, maybe you are going to age in some ways, okay? But, you know, I'd like to live – if I can live to 100 or more, I mean, I have longevity. I mean, my grandmother lived to 108 almost, okay?
Wow.
And it was only the last few months where – I mean, she wasn't mobile really anymore – but she didn't really start losing anything mentally to the last few months of her life. I want to be able to do things like that. I want to be able to get up and move and go and do this and do that. So I think testosterone is so important, so
yep.
very important. So go ahead. Let's start right off. We know now. Let's talk about it a little bit with, obviously, weightlifting. And, you know, we can get into some personal things. We've kind of nip that a little bit right now, but let's drive it all towards some big lifting goals here.
Sure.
Like you want to put size on, Logan.
Yeah.
Let's hit that too.
But before we mention that, you mentioned something there. It's well known that testosterone declines with age, right?
Yep.
We're basically increasing testosterone through our youth, and it gets to a point about 30s, it starts to go down after that. But interesting mm-hmm. thing was, I don't know if you're familiar with him, a guy named Peter Ragnar, who pretty amazing man. But one thing he likes to say is that time itself is not toxic.
Right.
So it really, is testosterone going down just because you're living longer, or is it because of we're not necessarily doing all the right things that help to support that testosterone and keeping it high into old age? So mm-hmm. I'd just like to offer that is, you know, just because the vast majority, 99% of the population's testosterone goes down with age, that doesn't mean yours necessarily have to. And you were talking about that feeling. I really like to say that high testosterone gives you the feeling that you can take on the world.
And yes, sir.
That's such a critical thing. It really is about much more than even sexual function or gaining muscle or being strong, but just having that feeling so you can go out and be productive and feel great while you're doing it, not be depressed. That's an even more important part of what testosterone can do for you.
Yep, it's an amazing thing. You know, I'll tell you one thing. I believe because Eric Gutman and I had a great show on the last week talking about power rack training, which you know I'm a major fan of. I can tell you this: if you take the right things, okay, testosterone-wise to help promote, you get in that rack and you learn how to do short, limited, heavy routines. And I'm talking squatting, like, you know, insane squatting. My belief is this. You can build testosterone like nobody's business, but you have to be smart about it. You don't have to know what you're doing, and you have to learn to be able to get in and out of a gym wherever you're training. Because my feeling is this: if you're going over 45 minutes with anything that you're doing brutally heavy, I think you start going backwards with your testosterone. Mm-hmm. Plus, as you and I were talking offline, recovery. Recovery. I mean, nothing's better than sleep, but you know, that's what I want to do. You've got a ton of products out there, and that's what I want to do. When you're ready on the show here today, let's start breaking them down, each one, and how, you know, how the they're so productive, and how we can use those to combine either our daily life, obviously, and especially our weightlifting. Because everybody that's listening to the show right now, when they hear this podcast, their ears are going to explode. So, you know, let's start. What do you want to start off with? I know the pine pollen has been a big one for you.
Right. Well, but before we get into the herbs, yeah, sure. I think it'll be good to kind of go into the different hormone pathways.
Absolutely.
I've been doing a lot of research on this recently, and it's actually quite complex. We're talking about testosterone, but testosterone is just one of like 20 hormones in this single pathway that you gotta. You don't have to go into this much detail, but it can be useful for some of the things we're going to be talking about here.
Okay, shoot.
Okay, so really it starts in the brain, in the hypothalamus, one of the glands in there that is really sort of the master regulator of your hormones. This is a long named hormone. Gonadotropin-releasing hormone, that moves on over into the pituitary gland. And from there, that triggers the release of two different hormones, follicle-stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone. Now, these then travel all the way down to your testicles.
Yep.
One of them, the follicle-stimulating hormone, that's really going to be more responsible for the creation of sperm. And going sort of that pathway, luteinizing hormone, that really begins the production of the androgens that we're looking for. So we're going to focus on that. Now, with this, it all starts. Testosterone is at, like, basically near the bottom of a conversion of a long chain of different hormones. It all starts with cholesterol. important component. This is one of the reasons why eating meat or butter, dairy, different things like that, having cholesterol in your blood, your body can certainly make its own, and it does that. It's actually really good at regulating its cholesterol amounts, but having this circulating, that can be very important because some people, for one reason or another, really aren't going to produce enough of their cholesterol themselves.
Right.
So cholesterol gets converted into pregnenolone. It can go a couple different ways from there. It can be converted into progesterone, which certainly has some health effects for men, but has really become much more of a important hormone for women. That's kind of in women that sort of combats the estrogens versus the men. It's the testosterone that combats the estrogens. So that balance is really important. From pregnenolone converted into DHEA, then there's androstenediol. Then finally, through these different pathways, you get to testosterone. Now, testosterone is not the end of the picture. Actually, when we're talking about that feeling and the muscle growth and everything that testosterone does, yes, testosterone does that, but dihydrotestosterone, DHT, is about seven times, I've actually heard different numbers, from like 10 times up to 50 times as potent of an androgen as testosterone is. So it's actually really that's what's even more crucial for this manliness that we've been talking about, the dehydrotestosterone.
That's the one they're always worried about, your hair.
There's two issues with that. One, it has been implicated in male pattern baldness, but that's one thing. It's also some pretty old research was linking that to prostate problems, but really that's generally not regarded to be true anymore. DHT is not going to be a problem. It's actually more of a problem of excess estrogens.
Right, that's making your hair fall out. Plus, if you have that in genetically in your family, that could end up – and that doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it could – you'd be more prone possibly to it. Yeah, most of the hair loss is definitely due to excessive estrogens. I mean – you know, I don't want to waver too much from this because you'll get my point when I tell you this. And it's funny on one side and sad on the other. Today I had to go and have my car all set up for the winter that I don't drive. And I was up at the dealership today, and I'm just one of those guys that likes to kind of sit and observe. And I got to tell you, I would say 9 out of 10 guys there, and they could have went from age maybe mid-late 20s right to probably mid-50s. There wasn't one of them that looked like they didn't have a friggin' beer gut on them, man.
Yep. A beer gut is a good sign of excess estrogen as well as cortisol.
Absolutely. Yep. And you know something, too, Logan? They looked beat.
Yep.
And by that I mean – very wrinkly. Obviously, they've got the balding or they're very gray. And you know what the saddest thing was? Every damn one of them either had a phone in their ear or they had it in their hand the whole time. I sat and watched it. I was like, what the hell's happened to men?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what I mean? And the guys that work there, they got their guts are hanging over their belt and their friggin' pants are down practically the middle of their ass bone. And it's like, what the hell's the matter with you guys, man? You look in the mirror, you got like 15 chins too, dude. Holy God. All right, so I just want to – that. But see, that all goes with what we're talking about right now. And now people kind of think that's like the norm. I mean, these guys didn't look like – man, it looked like if they had to walk a quarter of a mile because they ran out of gas and the gas station was a quarter, they would have dropped dead, man. You know, out of gas, as they would say.
So let's talk about in this hormone pathway. So that's kind of how it moves down from cholesterol down to testosterone and DHT. But there are a couple other things. First of all, pregnenolone and progesterone, instead of going down this conversion, those get converted over into cortisol and the different corticoids. So that's one thing. If you have too much stress, and this can be from training or work or family, any sort of different form of stress, that can basically use up that progesterone so it's not being converted down into testosterone. So that's one issue. Secondly, testosterone, it can be converted into estrogen through a process called or an enzyme called aromatase. This is actually one of the big issues because if you just boost your testosterone, that may not give you the effects you want because the body may say, oh, testosterone's increased. Let's just convert it into estrogen. And like I said, estrogen, it does have some healthful benefits, but the important part is the ratio as well as the different types of estrogen, of which there are a couple of them, the three main ones being estradiol, estrone, and estriol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So at this point, if someone is listening to this and they've got some idea of what we're talking about, because, this is a big thing. Watch any commercial, the way they address anything is take Viagra or Cialis or anything. And we know damn well, maybe for the moment, but if you're not getting good blood circulation, we know that we've got a big problem. So what are they? I don't know if you finished, and I don't mean to interrupt you with it, but all right, at this point, if you're where you are with this, or you're going to expand on
it. Let me add one more thing that's important. So testosterone, if you get any blood work done, you're probably going to see a couple different numbers. There's going to be total testosterone and then free testosterone. The thing is, even if you have a lot of testosterone, it may not actually be sort of working its magic in your body, because a lot of testosterone, besides being converted into estrogens, it can also get bound up by what's known as sex hormone binding globulin. And this binds it up and basically renders it inert, so then you're not able to get the benefits of the testosterone. If you get your blood work done and you see the free testosterone, that's really going to be a better indicator than total testosterone, though generally you're going to be looking at these different numbers as well as the other stuff like the ratios of testosterone to estrogen and the other factors we talked about as well.
Well, and the thing is, too, usually a good number with free, what are we talking, probably anywhere from 700 to 900 or greater?
Not with free, so that would be normal testosterone. It's usually the normal range is about 300 to up around 1,000. Definitely, if you want to be optimal, you're going to be on the higher end of that. Some people say like up to 1,200. Probably beyond that might be a little too much, but it also realize that people are individual. So, 700 for you may be quite a bit different than 700 for another person.
Exactly.
These are just reference ranges. The chart I have here for free testosterone, you want that to be about 3.5 to 17.9 nanograms per deciliter. So once again, high range on that, that's going to be the important thing. And like I said, you got to look at these other numbers as well.
Well, I think, too, if you want to maximize what you're doing outside with the steel and stones, you want to be on the tipping point a little bit, I think, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, really, DHT, everyone focuses on the testosterone. But looking at that numbers, that's going to be giving you the very strong androgenic benefits that you're really looking for, far more than even testosterone will do. So I think actually in the coming future, there will probably be a little bit more of a focus on that rather than as much on testosterone. Here's a really cool thing about DHT as well. It can still be bound up by sex hormone binding globulin. However, it cannot aromatize into estrogen.
So, which is perfect.
Yeah, so once it's converted into that, it's really strong, and it's probably not going away.
That's okay, man, because like I said, it feels good. And, a lot of people don't realize, too, and here's the thing with men, if you're not sleeping good at night, there's a good chance your testosterone's flatlined on you pretty good.
Hormones, we've talked about quite a few here, but there's multiple other pathways. You got growth hormone, you got melatonin with the sleep, all sorts of things. So there are many other factors that can come into play here, but we've covered some of the main ones. We're going to talk about some of the herbs, right? And those definitely help. But don't think you can it's not like a magic Band-Aid. You just put it over the problem and the problem goes away. You really do want to cover those basics like, getting a good amount of high-quality water, getting a good amount of high-quality sleep, lowering your stress levels. All those things are going to be the most crucial aspects to having testosterone. Then we bring in some of the other stuff to help support because the day and age we live in today with the environment, we're actually bombarded with a whole lot more estrogen than we ever have before in the history of mankind.
Well, it was interesting. I can't remember where I read it the other day. It might have been Dr. Mercola. And he makes a great point, and I've been doing this as much as I can. If somebody had some money right now, I'd like to be the guy to do it. How about putting glass out again? That's one of the things he's talking about. And I do that with just about any water I've got goes into a glass, because I have like a water machine where I take it, and the way it sets the oxygen up. And it's the same way, like, you know, you don't eat all your food. You know, find like glass cases to put it in, because those plastics that are so damn cheap, or you're wrapping in plastic, that's like suicide, man. And it is for what, see, we're focusing hard on us, and but you made the good point in the beginning. That they don't, women don't need to be absorbing all that plastic or saran wrap or any of that.
It causes same sort of problems or different problems in them just as much. So yeah, here's the thing. It's not just that our testosterone is being converted into estrogen. If that was the only factor, then we'd probably just have as much estrogen as we needed for health. The problem is we get a whole bunch of that estrogen from the environment. So the xenoestrogens, like you're talking about in plastics, the sort of biggest named one right now is BPA, which you can find BPA plastics. However, what they're not telling you, what people haven't caught on to yet, is there's a whole bunch of other compounds in plastics that have just the same sort of results. So that is why, you know, yes, BPA plastic, probably better than normal plastic, right? But, yeah, if you can switch over to using glass as much as you can, actually cutting down on your interaction with plastic, which, like I said, is pretty much unavoidable to some degree in this day and age, that's going to help you, because then you're getting less estrogens into your body, and then you don't need to do as much work in order to remove those, detox them, and the sort of problems that those create.
And that's the problem, you know, unless you really are aware of this stuff, you're really playing, it's like Russian roulette. Yeah. I mean, I know that, you know what the deal is, Logan, too? People have just been so brainwashed that, you know, the word you always hear, well, it's the aging process. Mm-hmm. Are you frigging kidding me, man? I mean, come on, will you? I mean,
Well, here's the problem. The aging process seems to be happening sooner and sooner, for just about everyone out there, because of these different problems. They use the word andropause for it, the sort of male equivalent of menopause. Yep. And I was just going through a thing and saying, like, for some men, it's starting in the 30s because it's this decline, because these estrogens. I just want to give people a sort of big picture, all the different things that have these estrogenic effects in our body. So we talked about plastics. That's one thing. Bovine growth hormone. So if you're eating commercial feedlot beef or drinking dairy from those, then you're getting some of that. Most tap waters are going to have estrogens. A lot of people that are women that are on the pill or taking other pharmaceuticals, that stuff is not completely removed from the water supply before it gets recirculated. So you're getting it through there. Laundry detergents, chemicals, PCBs, parabens, pesticides on foods, insecticides, fungicides, all of that. Those are going to be some of the xenoestrogens. But that's not all. Different foods can actually have phytoestrogens, soy, hops, flax seeds, licorice, and probably quite a few more, which can just contribute. Probably these wouldn't be that bad, but when we have this excess of estrogen, there's so much there. Heavy metals, if you have any problems getting those from fish and different cookware, deodorants, those have estrogenic effects in the body, as do mycotoxins, which contaminate a whole lot of foods like grains, peanuts, a lot of cheese and coffee as well. So there's just a dramatic amount of these estrogens in our environment. And because we're getting so many, I mean, our bodies are great at being able to handle whatever we throw at them, but there is a breaking point. There is a point where there's too much and the body just can't handle it anymore. And that's when problems start to occur.
Yeah, because you know something you'll hear a lot. I know guys that are like in their 30s too, and they're broken pretty much. You know, they don't feel good. You know, the typical, they got like a pear-shaped body. You know what I mean? It's all built like that down below with the belly. And it's like, well, what do I do? And it's like, you know, I understand, too, why a lot of these guys, I've had them over here training. They've got no fire, man. And they seem to, this is what we said before with testosterone, how people get depressed. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it has to do with that. You know, you get them here, and it's like, I can't believe you're 30 years old, man. I mean, you act like you're a 90-year-old. You know, you don't have any vim and vigor.
Mm-hmm.
And And I've had them over here where you're going easy with them, and they're like, oh, I've been sore for like 3 days. I'm like, holy shit, lucky you don't do what I do, or you'd be in the grave right now. So, you know, look, the bottom line is this. What we're doing here today, especially with the stuff that you and your family are into now, this is going to be so beneficial for people, and I hope they'll at least go out and take a look at everything and maybe make some very good decisions that will help them. So,
well, you make a very good point. You know, if you are in this sort of place where you're depressed and you don't feel good, you don't have energy, it can be really hard to make the different changes that you need to start making in order to take control for this. And I'd say that that's a huge piece of sort of the testosterone puzzle, of feeling like you have control in your life, in all the different areas of your life. That's like one of the most manly things there are to it. This isn't about being a dick or an asshole or anything like that. Certainly that's one sort of side of it, but just being a dominant male where, you know, you have control.
How about having that confidence? Yeah. So when you meet people or say you want to date a woman, you know, women are funny because they might tell you that, oh, I don't like these guys that are all like tough cats, you know, and all this shit. But you know what the bottom line is? They want a man that, you know, maybe in today's society you don't say it out loud, but women still like protectors, man. Yeah. That's just the way the male is. And
that's how they ought to be. Definitely have this more feminization of the male, you know, from a couple different factors, the estrogen we talked about, but sort of as a cultural thing, we've gotten away from that, and it's getting kind of pushed. We're definitely going to see a swing back. And like I said, it's not about being a macho man or being an asshole or anything like that, but being like a complete man. And this can take a lot of work in different sorts of ways, but being that, having that confidence, that sort of control, it's going to be tremendously attractive to women.
Absolutely. And not only that, I mean, most women are not, they might hang around with them, but, you know, the new male now with the three shades of hair and he can wear his sister's jeans, it ain't going to friggin' work. It's not going to help you in anything, man. You know, the girl could probably kick the shit out of him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty funny, but you're right. It is going to snap around. Well, and when it snaps, it's like everything, Logan. Yep. When it snaps around, you're going to feel like you got smashed right across the face, man.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to get.
With older men, some studies have shown that many women have higher testosterone levels than a lot of men.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is not a good place for the guys to be at. Guys normally have about like 7 to 10 times the amount of testosterone in daily production as women.
Not only that, man, that'd be the day I want to kiss a chick that's got hair on her chin. You know what I mean? It's like, screw that, man. I'll stay alone. I'll live in a cave somewhere alone. Hell with that, man. I don't want her to have a deeper voice than me either, you know? It's like, hey, come here, get dinner. I'm like, all right, we're out of here.
Well, right. See, here's the interesting thing why I kind of got into this. Like, when I was growing up, I was extremely weak. I was scrawny. Some might even call me effeminate. So I didn't really have that natural testosterone production, and could have been any number of factors in here. I was the third child. Some research points to, you know, if the mother isn't getting, you know, adequate nutrition, a lot of that goes out with the first baby, and they try to replenish, but the second baby and by the third, you know, there's not so much left. So that could be a piece of it. But I also had horrible, you know, standard American diet through the entire first 18 years of my life. So I didn't sort of naturally have a high testosterone, so it's taken work through the strength training. That's why I've paid so much attention to diet over the years in order to really bring this back, and it's an ongoing process. Absolutely.
But this is why you're very good at what we're talking about here today, because you've had the experience. See, the people that can talk the talk have done the walk, obviously. It's usually the armchair guys that are writing for some moron that doesn't know shit to begin with, you know, and he's out giving advice. And then you're like, what the hell do I do here now? And you just now run your, you've taken your last 20 out of your bank account and I've got nothing, you know, it's basically you're pissing it out every day. That's about it. So what, if you're, whenever you're ready, let's get into, you know, some of the stuff you guys deal with and how we do it.
Yeah. Before we do that, I just want to mention one other thing, testosterone replacement therapy. This is definitely a viable option, especially for like guys 40s, 50s that don't have don't have their testosterone levels they'd like to have, and it seems to have just amazing results in what it can do for these people. Here's sort of my viewpoint. Just putting testosterone in from the outside in pretty large amounts, it does seem to be safe for the most part, although there may be some issues with it. But why not try a more natural approach first? I'd always start there before doing something a little more synthetic or a little more artificial. Yeah. So that's why I really like the herbs, and they're really does seem to be, in addition to doing these, like, you know, changing your lifestyle, the different things we've talked about before, these can really help turn these hormones around for all sorts of guys.
And start squatting and deadlifting, and then you'll really see your balls explode. That's what I would tell you to do, too. Yeah. Get in there, get under there, man.
Let me talk about the testicles for a second. This is an interesting thing. I heard that actually getting sunlight on the testicles, which, think about that. When was the last time you did that? Probably when you were running around naked as a kid for the most part, for most people. The sunlight stimulates vitamin D production, which is going to – vitamin D is actually a hormone. So getting sunlight in these areas that don't tend to get sunlight, you know, of course you have to do this in a private place because you're
depressed if
you did that in the average city. But that sunlight on the testicles – boost testosterone levels. So, there you go. There's a quick tip anyone can take.
Yeah, and if you get arrested, don't call either one of us. No good. So, okay, so what are we going to do now? We're going to get in the herb? Okay.
Yeah, so I mentioned phytoestrogens, which are these estrogenic compounds in the environment, in things like soy. Soy has just a ton of them. That would be definitely a thing to avoid for all men, I would say. The one exception or a couple exceptions is fermented soy products, for instance, miso or natto. These can be fine because the fermentation process breaks down the estrogens, so they actually are quite fine. But you want to avoid things like soy milk or tofu. Definitely some big problems with that. Hops seem to have quite a bit of phytoestrogens, so any beer, it's actually really hard to find beer that doesn't have hops. There are a couple of them out there, and you'll probably see a couple more. Really before, I believe it was the 1800s, the German purity law, beers were made with all kinds of different herbs besides hops. And they actually, some of these stimulated androgens. So quite a few interesting things out there. But like I said, you almost cannot find a beer without hops these days. So there's a few things like this. Flax seeds would be another. But what's interesting, even though these phytoestrogens are quite pervasive in the environment, there doesn't seem to be as many phytoandrogens. Most people, in fact, have never heard that term, but there are phytoandrogens. There'll probably be more of these unveiled in the future, but sort of our biggest and most well-known source of this is pine pollen, which actually contains testosterone. It actually contains DHEA. It contains a few other plant hormone compounds in it as well. So it's very interesting because it's actually some good quantities of these hormones as well, because it doesn't take a lot of a hormone in order to cause an effect. In fact, our bodies run off of extremely minute amounts of these. So that's why these factors in the environment, the plastics, the phytoestrogens, those sort of things can have such an effect, because it doesn't take a whole lot in order to change our hormones in one way. Oh, which reminds me of a good story. Some of these chemicals that are produced in industrial waste, I forget exactly where this was, but in a river stream, you know, these were getting flushed down there, and they noticed the sexes of the fish downstream were actually being changed by these small level of estrogens. Yeah. Now, I haven't actually seen humans have their sex changed through phytoestrogens or anything like that, but that just shows it doesn't take a huge amount of these in order to cause changes in any sort of environment or human body.
Hey, Logan, one thing to answer that a little bit is I can remember reading articles, and these were even MDs admitting it as time went on. The 70s were very prevalent with women not wanting to breastfeed anymore. It was all that soy milk, okay?
Yep.
What they found were two things. They found more males were prone to homosexuality, and second, their genitalia did not grow properly.
Huh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, and it was pretty disturbing where, you know, maybe they had the tools down there, but everything was very undersized. That'd be the cleanest way I could put it. which is pretty sick when you think about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Formula for infants. That's a time when babies need the right nutrition. And I mean, how our thinking got strewed into thinking, oh, this naturally produced substance that every mother in nature provides for her babies. No, that is not good for them. Have this extracted compound from a bean that is heavily processed. Give that to these babies. That will help them grow better.
Well, you know, if you want to be a conspiratist, you know, let's face it, there's been a war on men for at least 35 years, probably.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. I mean,
the money involved with the whole soybean lobbies and all sorts of things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking on that, I mean, just think about now this year. Suddenly, butter was the enemy for 40 years. Now, butter is making, you know, makes the front, the cover of Time magazine. Oh, suddenly it's not bad for you. It's like, no shit, you know what I mean? But this is what's so disturbing, man. It's like people buy into this stuff, and I understand people have busy lives and all this, but, you know, when it comes to you or your own family, I think you're worth a little more than letting somebody else tell you what to do.
Yeah, it's hard because there's so much misinformation out there, and even without that, there's just so much information out there. You know, the internet's great. You can find anything, but you'll find 10 things that all conflict with one another, so it can be very hard. The one thing you have to come back to is your own experience, because that's the only unique and individual thing that you have, not listening to all these authorities. Yes, that's a good starting place. People listening to this podcast right now, I'm giving you this information. I want you to then take that, you know, compare it to your past experiences. Yep. Does it match with that? Where does it sort of conflict? But then try out some of the things I'm recommending here and see how that makes a difference for you.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. Keep going with what, you know, let's continue.
Okay, so the pine pollen, so it has these phytoandrogens in addition to all kinds of vitamins, all kinds of minerals, antioxidants, other components that we don't even know about. There's over 200 bioactive compounds in pine pollen. At the last count, it's a complete protein, all these different amino acids, has so many different things that it's really a great food source. And here's the great thing about it. So it's going to directly supply some of these different androgens to your body. Taken in the powdered form, it seems to really help your body to sort of reestablish that more natural, more youthful, greater working hormone cycle. It also seems to actually cut down on the aromatization, so less of the estrogen being created out of the testosterone. So it has a lot of different effects in here that really seems to be balancing. Now, there's also the tinctured form, which is where the pine pollen is soaked in alcohol, and the alcohol draws out these different androgens much better, so they're actually more bioavailable. You just squirt this into your mouth, hold it under your tongue, and these hormones can go directly into your bloodstream where they're active. They're able to move around and do everything they need to do, bind to androgen receptors, etc. So that's quite a more potent hormonal stimulus than the powder by itself, which is really much more of a food. At least that's how I like to think about it. So depending on where you're at, if you really need to do quite a bit of work to boost your testosterone up and the other hormones, then taking the pine pollen tincture, generally it's only recommended for older men, like 30s and older than that, though, you know, I'm 29, I've certainly played with it myself. That's a good way to go, but the pine pollen itself, that's great for men of all ages, women of all ages, even children, because it's really going to be more balancing rather than just directly boosting.
And the nice thing about it, too, is you're not going to have to go out and buy 10 other supplements because you've got everything right there in the pine pollen.
Yeah, I've been calling it the superfood of the 21st century just because of all these estrogenic compounds in our environment. We need something that helps to balance those out, men become men again. And this is actually really great for women as well because they do need these male sex hormones as well, the androgens. A lot of women report things like increased energy, reduction of different PMS symptoms they may be having, hot flashes, cramping, that sort of thing. So it works really great for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's the next best on the agenda?
The next one is something we just recently released, and me and my brothers have been super excited about this because it is just, it's phenomenal. It's a root from a tree that grows in Indonesia and Malaysia. It's known as Tongkat Ali. That name translates to Ali's walking stick, and I don't think they're talking about an actual stick from a tree. It goes by a couple other names, Long Jack. It's in Vietnamese, it's known as a tree that cures 100 diseases. So very cool thing about this, it actually seems to help with the hormones on three different levels. It sort of indirectly, probably through the luteinizing hormone I talked a little bit about before, helps to stimulate the body to increase its own testosterone levels. It is also anti-estrogenic and lowers the aromatase enzyme, which converts the testosterones to estrogens, and it also lowers sex hormone binding globulin. So it's really like a triple punch working on the different hormone pathways. And I have to say, like, just from taking it myself, the experiences with other people, a lot of people are really enjoying this herb and seeming to get some great benefits from it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So what's next we're going to get into?
Let's see. Well, I'd say those are probably my favorite two. If you're looking to boost testosterone, I'd say Tongkat Ali and Pine Pollen. One other one that's worth mentioning is Nettle Root. Nettle Root, this is something that grows pretty pervasively across the U.S., the nettle plant, stinging nettles. If anyone has encountered these, they're not very forgettable because the leaves actually have these spines that sting you. And this plant's really cool. The different parts of the plant all have different benefits. The leaves are actually highly nutritious, build the blood, help with urinary tract infections and with the kidneys. But the root specifically is much more specific towards the hormones. It inhibits aromatase once again. It binds to the sex hormone binding globulin, so it lowers both of those. It's been used for quite a few years for prostate health, for supporting men with benign prostatic hyperplasia and prostate cancer, that sort of thing. So that can be a good one in there. When I had a couple, I've had some blood work done in the past, and for some reason on two of my tests I've come back with high sex hormone binding globulin, and I'm like, damn it, my testosterone's not being usable because of this. So nettle root is a great one to turn to for that reason. But like I said, the Tongkat Ali also seems to have that effect
as well.
All
right, so I want to talk about a couple of the others, but let's talk about our lifting friends here. I know what your two favorite are, but let's give them what you would do, even if you did a short program with the herbs here, how you would take them, and obviously we know the benefits. But if you wouldn't mind, just kind of, you know, if someone's, you know, we've heard a few of them right now, but if someone emails me or sends something to you and says, I want three right now, what three would you suggest taking? How much would you take a day? And can I stay on these for an unlimited amount of time? How's that?
Good questions. We'll start with the last one. I think that's really an important question. The hormones, they work through pretty complex systems and different feedback loops. So, for instance, the first hormone I mentioned that sort of starts this cascade that ends up increasing testosterone is gonadotropin releasing hormone. Well, the body is recognizes when testosterone levels are elevated, then it stops the production of this, and that's known as a negative feedback loop. So the body is always working to reach that sort of homeostasis that it has. Thus, with a lot of the hormonal herbs, what you're going to get best results is if you do some sort of cycling with these, meaning you take it for some period of time, then you take some time off. One of the guys I learned from David Wolf when talking about hormones, he said it's best to think about it as a game of musical chairs. So if you're always doing one thing, your body gets used to that, especially when it comes to hormones. So then it's going to sort of downregulate other things because you're always supplying that from the outside. But if you do it here and then you don't do it the next day, then you take it the next day or you take something different, then that is going to really help stimulate, for instance, the testosterone that we're going for here, but without shutting off your body's ability and capability to do it by itself. So I think that's very important, especially with the powerful herbs. Like I said, the pine pollen powder, it's really more of a food. You probably could do that all the time with no problem, but with the pine pollen tincture, I would definitely cycle that. The Tongkat Ali, that is pretty much always recommended as well.
Let's put this, we know that you've got like the Hercules formula and Spartan and all that, but if someone really wants to get into this with you, Logan, I mean, say you've taken the Tongkat for, let's just say you've taken it for a month on and off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you feel we got to get off this, say, for a month or a couple weeks or whatever. Could we take any of the others like we want to do, and maybe it's a different result that's coming with the other herbs, but can we plug that in?
Yeah, basically? I think that's a great way to do it, to actually rotate the different herbs you're taking all the time. Okay. That's something I personally do, not just because I own the company and have to constantly experiment with new things, but even long before that, that was something I was doing. I'd take an herb and I'd see sort of the effects of it, and I may get that herb right then and there again, or I try something else, and by doing this I get a wider experience of different herbs and how they work personally for my body. So I think that's a great thing to do. So buy one bag of the Tongkat Ali, take that for a month. Our general recommendation is to take it for 5 days, then leave off for 2 days and continue in that sort of cycle, and do that until you're out of the Tongkat Ali. Notice the benefits. If you want, get some more or try something different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously it's great if you can stay on the pine palm because you got a good base there then, and that's good to have, always have a base. Is it best? All right. So we know the Tongkat, it really drives the tea up. We know the pine pollen does too. And if you want to do the tincture, and I know the Hercules formula from what you and I were talking about is a great formula to take before you lift, I take it, right?
Yeah, that's specifically designed as a pre-workout formula to sort of give you a rush.
Okay.
So that's a good one.
Is that something you only take when you want to lift, or can you take
that? Yeah, that one, that's our only like formula or anything we sell on the site that isn't 100% herbs. It has three great herbs. Black ant extract. This is an interesting thing since we're on the topic. This is the highest bioavailable source by mass of zinc on the planet. And zinc is absolutely critical for testosterone and the other androgens because it's used in these conversion processes. If you remember back to when I was talking about all those, every single step along that way requires certain cofactors, and zinc is one of the main ones that is needed in order to create actual testosterone itself. Zinc is something that we don't get a whole lot of in our diet. I mentioned before it is in red meat to some degree, but one, that's going to have to do with the quality of the red meat. If whatever the cows are eating don't have a lot of zinc, then they're not going to be able to have that zinc really. So that's an important thing. And study after study has shown just how zinc can help restore testosterone levels if you were deficient in zinc in the first place. So the ant is great for that. There's also Sustanch, which actually some stuff I've looked at, I can't give the exact details, but that seems to help boost testosterone and DHT as well. And then also marl root, which is a pretty phenomenal one for recovery, helps with lean muscle mass, so that probably works in that some way as well. But there's a little bit of niacin in the Hercules formula, which acts as it causes a little bit of the flush. Anyone that's taken, you know, a pill of niacin before knows what that's like. But just a little bit of it causes a little bit of a flush, helps stimulate circulation, cause vasodilation, helps to deliver those nutrients better into your different cells, so that you get a bit of a rush and you feel more powerful for your workouts.
And if you want to really have fun with your girlfriend or your wife, take some of the Tonkat Ali with that, because obviously, you know, if your pipes are opening all up, everything else is going to get hard with it.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I'll go with that.
We actually had one guy, I have to share this story.
Yeah, shoot.
After he took niacin before sex, and his wife said, no, you can't do that again. He was just like a little bit too aggressive, I guess. It was just a little bit too much for, you know, other women may like that. So feel free to experiment in that realm as well.
Now, you know what was interesting, too, when you're talking about the black ant? Now, I've read stuff in Chinese herbs, too, that they make formulations with black ant because they say it kind of almost works like a Viagra effect.
Yeah, a lot of these different herbs can have that or are known for that. Shilajit's another one that's actually been called Indian Viagra. So the ant, in addition to having all of this zinc in it, a whole bunch of other stuff as well. So, yeah, some people have noticed that sort of effect. Other people have actually noticed growth coming from it.
Yep.
In that
that's
respect.
Always good.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Not everyone notices that, but that's an important thing that it can really help with a wide variety of different benefits.
Now, what do you – I mean, we talked off air about taking stuff under the tongue. The Ali obviously has got a taste that's going to
– yeah.
You're going to have to get used to that, okay? But it's all right. It goes away within – I've taken it a long time ago. 15 minutes, I don't even feel it anymore. I don't really care. After a while, you really get to like it. But is it – with most of the herbs that you guys have got out now, do you feel if you can do it, more beneficial to put it under the tongue? Or I know some of the stuff we talked about pine pollen, you'll choke to death if you try to do that. But are there some of them out? Are there some of the ones that you have out there that you can take under the tongue and not have a problem?
Well, the under the tongue is specifically for the tinctures, of which we only have the pine pollen tincture right now. The reason for that is this alcohol extract. The cell walls are very thin under the tongue, so it's most readily able to go straight into the bloodstream. By doing that, you probably could do it with these powdered herbs, but I think they're just too big of molecules. They're not going to go in quite that same way. So there are a couple different ways of taking these herbs. The Tonkat Ali, like you mentioned, is pretty bitter tasting, and the taste will linger in your mouth for like up to half an hour. So that can be a little problem.
But I probably could get that under the tongue, though, because it is.
Yeah, that might work. That'd be something worth experimenting with. I came up with a way, or actually my brothers came up with this way, just taking these powders, you just drink a little bit of water, so you have that sort of just sitting in your mouth, then throw the powder in there, and you can swallow it all down without really tasting the herbs. That can be a pretty easy way to take a lot of these different herbs. Of course, you can mix them into water, mix them into drinks, quite a few ways to take it.
Sometimes some of the stuff I take in last I just put, that ester C, the powder.
Yeah.
Those little packets, I'll throw it in with a packet and put the good water in it and just drop it down. And usually it doesn't even stick to the side of the glass. It all depends. If I'm mixing a lot of them, then I'm going to have to get it off a little bit.
Yeah.
But on all for, you know, I'll mix sometimes. I'd mix three of them together. I mean, that's a lot to drop down at one shot. But all in all, that's the – and, you know, it's like anything. You get used to it. It's not that friggin' bad, man.
Yeah, well, most people are kind of wimpy, so it's unpalatable for them. But, yeah, you can get used to it just like you can get used to anything. And, like I said, there are ways to avoid it, but you can also just man up and go for it.
and here's another thing, Logan. If you understand lifters, a lifter would eat shit
absolutely.
It's big, right? That's the mentality, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, if you're going to cry,
I'm right there with you, man. I've tried raw liver. I've tried all kinds of things
absolutely.
Just to see, you know, what it's like.
Dude, we used to drink this crap this guy used to sell at a health food store, and you know it was garbage. It was liquid protein, and it was like it wasn't like the shit in the stores now. It was literally it might be like a grape liquid. It'd be like, pretend it's like grape juice, but it's not, all right? But it's like that type.
Yeah.
You drink this stuff, and it was like, I can't remember. It was like a huge number of protein, and there's no way you could digest it. And here's the deal. We'd be going to lift, or we'd be out screwing around, and we'd have like a case of it, and we'd be just guzzling this shit in the car, right? and the next thing you hear is your stomach going gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. And you know what that means, man. You better get home like quick or somewhere, because if not, you're friggin' doomed. So you know what I mean? It's like, that's just the way it is. But I mean, a couple little herbs, man, come on, just take them down, go out, lift some friggin' weights, and you'll feel like a real goddamn man.
Yep, absolutely.
So do you want to hit any others? Because we're close to an hour. We can go over a little bit. What do you want to do?
I think that gives enough for people to start to play with. There certainly are other ones, and maybe we'll cover this more in a future
show.
But, yeah, I think we covered a lot here. So just sort of recap all the things we talked about. Of course, lifting heavy, and I think you touched on one of the most important points if you're focusing on lifting in order to boost testosterone, is you should feel better when you leave the workout than when you started it. You should be feeling strong. You should be feeling on top of the world. That's going to be the good indicator that you've really increased your testosterone in that workout, rather than just increasing cortisol like you would on a marathon run, which is going to dump the rest of your hormones into the tank. So do that. The basics, sleep, water, food, all that. Limit your exposure to the different estrogens. And like I said, they're everywhere. So limit plastics. Different skincare products have all kinds of things, chemicals, pesticides, soy, heavy metals, all sorts of different things out there. Try to reduce that load. That's going to do a whole lot. Then supplementing with some of these different herbs, pine pollen, tongkat ali, can really help to turn things around. If you do all those things together, then you can really get your testosterone where it ought to be, or even better than that.
Right. Optimization is the best, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you live in a colder climate that's getting colder, it's even better because you're going to have to adapt. And the nice thing is, with all this stuff, it's all adaptation, as they say. Yeah. And that's real important, because this can lead to some successful stuff for you. And why not get, more manly, more stronger, have a deeper voice, have a firmer handshake, shit, that's the way to live. And you know what? Pass that on to some kids, or your own kid, or your buddies, like, get off the couch, stop watching TV, drinking beer with your damn belt buckle loose. Get on some Tongkat Ali, man. And the next thing you'll be like a beast out in the yard. That's the thing. So.
And let's not forget sunlight on the testicles. That helps. You reminded me of another one, cold water on the testicles as well. So do the cold showers. You can still do hot after it, but do the alternating hot and cold and get full blast as cold as you can go. You may need to work up to it, but do that on the testicles. The scrotum on the testicles, and that boosts testosterone as well.
Isn't testosterone a great thing, man?
Yep. I had a lot of fun today.
This show, you can tell. This is the loudest you ever been on a show, man. It's a good time. Hey, why don't you give out all the information about everything, and then I'll give mine, and I'll talk to you for a minute offline, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Head on over to supermanherbs.com. You can read a whole lot more information, not just about the herbs I talked about, but we have some articles like the estrogens versus androgens that go into a lot more detail, like specifics on the different xenoestrogens and things like that, and what you can do to avoid. So there's a lot of great information on there, as well as picking up these different herbs, all the ones we talked about today. I would highly recommend any man. It's worth trying out the Tongkat Ali and the pine pollen as well. It's just phenomenal stuff.
Yep. And why don't you give out Legendary, too?
Sure. My other website, a little more focused on the lifting, though I have some health information on there as well, and also the mental side of strength. That's at legendarystrength.com.
Yep. And we're going to – M&M is going to be doing an affiliate program, too, with Logan and his brothers, because we feel this is real important. And we like Logan on the show, and we want to help them out, too. And Logan and his brothers are helping me with a few things to get ready for Iceland, which I think we'll talk about more as we get on with this, and I'll give you my breakdown of everything I'm doing with these guys, and hopefully, if everything goes correct in 2015, we'll be over in Iceland, and at that point, I'm going to give you everything we've done with Logan and his family and what I've done to get ready for Iceland. So besides what we talked about today, I'm going to have some very interesting things and hopefully lots of footage for everybody. So I got to give mine now. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're brought to you by, sponsored by Fiorella Barbell Company here in upstate New York, www.fiorellabarbellco.com. Motivation and Muscle is motivationandmuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Please go out to iTunes. Give it, you know, give us a little write-up. Tell us what you think about it. We want to spread this show all over the planet. You can get a hold of me at FiorellaBarbell@nicap.rr.com. On Facebook, it's Fiorella Barbell and Motivation and Muscle. On Twitter, it's, Fiorello Eric. And I want to thank Eric Relou for all the work he's done with the new websites. And we have a brand new one coming out for our weight loss product. I know I've been saying it, but it's taken time to build all the levels of things we've had to do. That will definitely be out by year's end. So we're looking at 2015 as having a big year here, and we're glad Logan and a lot of the other guys and gals are involved. And I just got a Facebook from John Johnson, who was on the show, and he asked me, he goes, "I'd love to come on with my wife again." He goes, "I'm listening to your podcast right now," and he goes, "I'm so inspired." So I mean, John, I'll tell you, before I even send you anything, you've definitely been in my sights. But you know, we're building out quite a bit here, and I'm trying to schedule people now. We're going to be going into March now of 2015. So, you know, I'm averaging right now anywhere from 8 to 10 podcasts a week, which is huge. So I've got to be real careful of the old voice, because that's the bread and butter right now. So, Logan, thanks again, brother, for everything and coming on. This was by far the best show you and I ever had.
Well, here's the thing. I think talking about testosterone boosts testosterone. So
you bet your ass, man.
I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Me too, man. It's like you got euphoria right now. You know what I mean? It's like all those little bubbles in your head are going off, going ping, ping, ping like that. I'm like, it's like you just want to go out now and flip a car over. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's freaking great. So for Logan Christopher, this is Eric Fiorella. I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll probably do a little bit more on this, but we've got a couple ideas for shows next week. How about becoming indestructible? I think we'll get into that next week. And we're going to have fun here, man. This is a good time. So we'll be talking to everybody. Logan will be on in 2 weeks, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.